powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, who else? Who else? Our regular Friday guest is Michael Bumpus. Bump, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, guys. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. So I'm going to get started. I'm kind of going in reverse order with free agency right now. One of the more recent things to happen was Jacob Hollister signing with the Buffalo Bills. That news breaking from Tom Pelissero just minutes ago. And obviously yesterday we learned of David Moore on the move. He is signing with the Carolina Panthers. So you have two pass catchers who are out of here. Now, there are all kinds of names floating around in free agency or in the draft that they could target. Are there guys, specifically wide receivers, but guys on the depth chart that Seattle already has that you're expecting a bigger year from because of those departures?
Yeah, obviously with David Moore leaving, you got to look at that receiver room. And I look at Freddie Swain. You know, he's a guy who worked himself into the rotation, I guess, a little bit towards the end of the year. And they got him the football. They tried to get him the football, too. When you see guys throwing screens and jet sweeps and crossing routes, those are designed plays to get guys open. So you saw Freddie kind of work his way in there. And Pete Carroll talked about him in camp. He knows every position. He's reliable, and that's what you want out of a receiver. If a guy goes down, can you insert him? So I'm excited about Freddie Swain, and I'm still just curious about John Ursua. I'm like, look, they need a slot receiver, and John Ursua is a slot receiver. He's got some wiggle. He knows how to move. So I'm interested to see what they do there. Now, at the tight end position, it's all about Uncle Will and Kobe Parks and guys already there. And obviously, Gerald Everett is here as well. I think that's going to open up a lot more playing time for Kobe Parks. And I think he was going to get more reps this year anyway. And now you just have, again, a dynamic receiver room. Uncle Will is your traditional guy. He's going to block. He's going to play tough. He does have hands. He'll catch the rock. But now you look at Gerald Everett as kind of like your hybrid, does a little bit of everything well. And then Kobe, I think, is going to be a good pass catcher. So those are some names that are going to step up. We'll see more Kobe, and I think Freddie Swain is going to get some opportunities.
Now, Bump, we will miss the beautiful unicorn that is Jacob Hollister. I will forever in my brain be etched with this memory right here.
Ross takes the shotgun snap. Looks, throws inside. Ball is caught. Is it an end zone? Seahawks win. Touchdown, Seahawks. Jacob Hollister, his second score, and the Seahawks win in dramatic fashion in overtime here at CenturyLink Field.
Now, Bump, can you help me? Can you help me get over this sadness that I have that we will not have Jacob Hollister here? I know we upgraded at the position, Bump, with Gerald Everett, someone that pretty excited about. But how do you envision this team using Gerald Everett?
You know, pretty much the same way you envision it. I heard you talk about it yesterday. Gerald is a guy who you can move around. He can play outside, and defenders actually respect him outside. You know, when tight ends go outside and DBs are looking at number 80-something, they're like, all right, man, this guy's not going to go deep. I'm not going to get into my back pedal.
Worst feeling as a quarterback, Bump. Worst feeling. There's no threat out there.
No threat. The corner is sitting all over that junk, right?
Yep.
But now you put Gerald Everett back there. When he fires off the football, these DBs got to get into that back pedal, because if not, he will run by you. He ran a 4.6. You can move him in a slot, get mismatches against outside linebackers and safeties, and then put his hand in the dirt, and he can work off the edge as well. So he's going to do – I think Jacob Hollister was a pass-catching tight end who was good on the outside. You substitute him with a guy who can go inside, outside, in the slot, do everything well. So I'm going to miss Jacob Hollister. He's had some great moments for the Seattle Seahawks, but this was definitely an upgrade.
Yeah, I agree. Goodbye, beautiful unicorn of Jacob Hollister. Now, Bump, I'm going to come back at you a little bit because you were talking about the receivers, and I think that there can be progression with Freddie Swain. John Ursua is another unicorn out there that I have seen up close and personal. He is an athletic freak. He's a guy that maybe within this offense could turn into a starting level player or a player that can really contribute. Maybe Shane Waldron can finally get him using the choice game in a way that they haven't used in the past. But I have doubts about going into the season as those two guys being my third receiver. Could you envision the Seahawks going out and being aggressive with that position, trying to replace 13 touchdowns over three seasons with David Moore, a guy like, you know, T.Y. Hilton or someone of that ilk? Is there anybody out there that you could see that may be having their eye on?
One, Jake, I'm glad that you've given Demo Swag David Moore some love, because people are hard on him, man. And my dude, all my dude did was make big plays. It might not have looked the way that you wanted it to look like, but, man, throw the ball up to Demo. He's coming down with it. So thank you for that. And I am concerned a bit with Freddie Swain and John Ursua simply because they just don't have the rep. So you prefer a guy to come in who's been in the NFL for a while. And honestly, the guy that I've been looking at is Josh Reynolds. And I like Josh Reynolds because, one, he knows this offense, right? He's worked with Shane Waldron for a while. Mm-hmm. And two, he's a true slot guy. And people look at Tyler Lockett and say, just because he's 5'11", he's a slot guy. Just the way he moves, he's more fitted for the outside, or he can go across the middle, but he doesn't have the Doug Baldwin wiggle. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean he's not a great receiver. That's right. Just not his game. And I think Josh Reynolds has that. You know, he knows how to attack an outside linebacker, shift his weight right to left, and sit down when you have that gap in the cover two, or just how to move the flat defender, take him to the flat, and snap his route upfield. There's a real art to this. So you prefer someone who's been there and done that. I like Josh Reynolds, and he's not going to cost as much as T.Y. Hill.
Hey, Bump, I have two very important questions, one more important than the other. How quickly do you think you could chug a Capri Sun through the straw?
Man, less than 3 seconds.
Less than three? Okay.
Okay. Now, Bump knows. He's got kids.
I'm leaving the pack of Capri Sun in here for the morning show today.
Bump, is it not true? I'm trying to explain these guys. Like, my one-year-old can down these things.
Way.
Like, no, but you hand it to him, you turn around, and you're yelling
I'm
at him for another.
I'm drinking coffee with the same straw.
Am I wrong, Bump?
That I pulled from one of these. Bump.
No, Jake, you're right.
Bump.
It's all about the squeeze. It's all
Come
about the
on. Hey, Bump, this morning, you, Danny, and Gallant had a really fun conversation that I wanted to revisit. I was dying. You guys were talking about, basically, you felt, the three of you, like, look, the Chicago Bears, now that we know that Hicks has requested a trade and they've released Fuller, they were ready to rip Seattle off with this trade proposal for a franchise quarterback. So can you talk a bit about that? And then also, you guys were all talking about times when you've been ripped off. I want to hear about yours.
First off, what the Bears tried to do, what we call back home, we call that janky. Like, that is just janky, man. Like, what are you doing? I'm thinking it's Khalil Mack on the table. It's Allen Robinson. And even then, I'm like, it's not going to happen. But at least those are two respectable starters. You know what I mean? I'm hearing that the guys that they were going to offer might not even be on the team. So, one, that's janky by the Chicago Bears. They're not being honest. But, hey, they got to take their shot. I ain't mad at them. Now, a time I've been ripped off, really my mom got ripped off. Because my mom, we're only 18, 19 years apart, so she used to do a lot of my shopping for me. And this was back when FUBU was hot, right? I'm like, oh, mom, give me the FUBU. I need the FUBU gear.
It was hot.
And she comes home with FUBU. I'm like, mom, I love you. I appreciate your efforts, but this is a PB, not an SD. She felt so bad, but yeah, that's growing up in LA, man. Don't get you.
Oh man, that's funny. Hey, you know, we played a sound a little bit ago, and I want you to hear this cut. This is Quandre Diggs. He is on here in cut number two. He's being asked about Russell's situation, and when I heard this cut, I immediately thought of you, Bump.
Now Russ has come out of his shell more because he's comfortable and he knows he's one of the best to do it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I just think now it's just the evolution that he's going through, and some people like it, some people don't like it. But, I mean, it's a player-driven league, and he's doing what he has to do. But, I mean, I think Russ is going to be a Seahawk. I think he wants to be a Seahawk, and I know we all want him to be a Seahawk. So, I just think, you know what I mean? He's talking his talk now, just like how Jamal talks his talk, the way I talk my talk. You know what I mean? He's just, you know what I mean? He's being him, and people not used to seeing him. And, you know what I mean? I just think he's confident in himself. He's confident in his abilities, and he's letting it be shown now.
So what is your reaction, your first reaction when you hear that?
Because dogs understand. There's only so many dogs out there on a football field. Guys who have supreme confidence, who have that swagger and belief in themselves, talk like that. You know, they make some demands, and Russell is realizing. I don't think he's realizing. He's just kind of to the point where he's just going to say what he feels. And a lot of people are offended by it because we're just not used to hearing Russell talk like that. And me, I didn't even take offense. I'm like, that's just a leader asking for things that he wants, and we all see that we need offensive linemen. The concepts are crazy. So I appreciate it, and I think that's probably the feel of the locker room, at least the majority of the locker room. Like I said before, if you are walking around with your feelings hurt because of what Russell Wilson said, man, you're responding the wrong way. Maybe you're the problem. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able to take criticism and have it fire you up, not take criticism and whimper and be like, oh, well, he shouldn't be talking about us like that. That's just not the way I was brought up. That's not the way the teams I played on function. So I'm happy to hear it, man. I hope that's the feel in the locker room.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way that I was too. So I don't know if it's a generational thing or if it's a fan base thing in terms of trying to insert yourself. Like, hey, this is how I would react and this is how I was. Well, you're missing a lot of context though, right? Like, you don't know the relationships that are there or the vibe that's there. And so I can see on the outside why it comes across that way. But I think when I heard that from Quandre Diggs, I immediately thought of you because from the jump, you weren't bothered by it because you had the same thought process of Quandre Diggs. This is a players-driven league. And, you know, and so I think that that's a unique part. And it's to me, Seahawks fans should be happy to hear that. Like, you don't want the players to be in there saying, like, hey, Russell Wilson, go on, get. We want you out of here. Like, they understand what's going on. And if they had questions, I'm assuming that they probably picked up the phone and talked to each other. It's pretty easy these days via social media now.
Exactly. And that's what I think. I think if anyone on that offensive line, really Dwayne Brown, if Russell, I'm sure he checked in with Dwayne Brown, the leader of that line. It's like, look, if there's any misunderstanding, this is what I meant, or that Dwayne Brown reached out. You know, we as the public are left in the dark because they're not going to come out and talk about every conversation that they've had. The Hawks have been quiet, right? You think Pete hasn't talked to Russell? You think Snyder ain't talked to Russell? You know, there's real life things that are happening. And because players aren't completely transparent with us and let us know every single move, then people start to feel certain ways, which is okay. But yeah, man, I don't think it's a big of a deal as a lot of people are making it out to be.
All right, I have a real question and then a fun question that relies on your Dodgers fandom. So I'll start with my last Seahawks question. Who on the defensive side of the ball for this upcoming season do you think has the most weight on his shoulders?
Oh, most weight on his shoulders. I would say probably Bobby. You know, he's the anchor of this defense. He's getting paid $18 million. People are asking for him to restructure his contract, and some people are saying he's not worth that. And I think he hears the noise. But if Bobby doesn't play well, this defense doesn't play well. And they'll have their spurts. But I think it's on Bobby. He's the leader of that defense, just like on offense, it's on Russell.
All right, here's my second question. Now, I don't know if you heard this story, but Dodgers fan Mario Lopez is opening a restaurant in Houston. Have you heard this?
I have not.
Okay, so Mario Lopez is a Dodgers fan. He's opening a restaurant in Houston, and the Astros fans are really mad about it because last season Mario Lopez was caught on camera basically calling them cheaters. He used a word I'm not going to say on air, but it was kind of funny. And he basically said they weren't punished enough. And so now there's this whole kind of thing with like all these Astros fans being like, we'll show you. If Astros fans and Dodgers fans are coming to blows, whose side are you taking? I have already said I'm all in on the Dodgers.
Man, you know I'm riding with the Dodgers all day.
It's not even close. It's not even close.
Gotta ride with the Dodgers. The Houston fans should just be quiet for about 4 to 5 years. You gotta let this thing blow over. Because your squad was cheating. If you're cheating, you can't be the loudest person in the room. You gotta tuck your tail and be quiet for a bit.
Yeah, you don't get to feel like you were wronged or everyone's against you.
No.
Like the way that they made themselves last year be like, oh, we're gonna show you guys. We've got the chip on our shoulder. The chip on your shoulder for what? For cheating? For breaking the rules? You don't get to do that. You don't get to be the victim.
No victims here. Hey, that helps in the locker room. You can play that role, that narrative. But out in the public,
yeah,
I mean, just be humble.
Can't do it. All right. He is Michael Bumpus, joins us every Friday. Thanks so much, Bump.
All right, see you guys. Thank you.
I have to add, before we get to four down territory, A, this hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. Curtis Rogers on the board. Speaking of Curtis Rogers, he is going to attempt to break a world record in about 15 minutes. I have looked up the rules for this world record. Curtis, you're not going to like it.
Uh-oh.
You have to start the challenge with the straw in the wrapper still glued to the drink.
Oh, wait, wow.
What? That changes everything.
Okay, how about I'll let you do it twice? One that way and one with the straw already in the drink. Should we try with the straw already in the drink first?
Look, I'm up for a challenge. I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll do it however you want it.
Let's start. Can you chug two?
Mind is blown right
now. Is two too many? They're like 200 milliliters.
I mean, if we chug two in consecutive order, I may not be able to finish the segment.
We need Curtis to still be
around. Without taking a break to the little producer's room.
Yeah, the little producer's room.
Okay, I'm going to figure this out. The technical rule that I've looked up is that it has to be attached to the
side.
All right,
let's do it.
So we can do two. Either you can chug it and just see how quickly you can chug it, or you can actually try to break the record.
Or he can just try in the back room just to work on getting the straw.
Yeah,
we do have a whole, like,
I've got 10 Capri Suns in there.
Yeah, we have 10 back here.
You can take out three and try to see how quickly you can
take it out. That's the toughest part of this whole challenge.
You have 15 minutes here while we go through four down territory to practice that. Don't forget to leave at least like two attached.
All right.
Okay. It's time for four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
With Jake and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
First down, Jake. Adam Schefter still hot on the Russell Wilson trade potential. Do you see Russ ever expanding his list of potential teams?
2021? Nah. Russell Wilson is not expanding this list. So over the past couple days, it's been fascinating to listen to Adam Schefter because of the wording that he has been using. Yesterday it was, the Seattle Seahawks don't care about Russell Wilson's list. Well, how does that work? Like, if you're going to try to trade him, you're not going to trade him to the Jets or Miami. We all know that that would be a preferred destination for the team, or it would be better for the team, at least. You would get more in return. But in regards to where he would actually accept a trade to and he would waive the no trade clause, there were four teams. Now, obviously, there's only three. So it doesn't matter. Like, the trade is there's nothing there. So... and then Adam Schefter today talking about how, once again, bringing up if there was a path to a quarterback, then the Seahawks would be interested in trading Russell Wilson. They didn't say they would be reserved or if Russell Wilson demanded a trade. They said the team would be interested. So it's an interesting difference in the words that Adam Schefter is using, which puts the team as more of the aggressor right now. Russell's been pretty quiet up to this point, but... No, that list is not getting expanded, so I just don't see this happening whatsoever. I don't see this trade even being a possibility at this point in time.
Second down. Stacy.
Curtis, you're working on those straws.
No, I've got to run things back here.
Okay.
I'm a little tied up with my hands. Second down, is Akello Witherspoon a fair replacement at starting cornerback for Shaquille Griffin?
Now, the short answer is no. This is not like an equal replacement as far as production and talent. But I want to add some context so it doesn't sound like I'm just complaining about this signing. It's just important context to have. So, first of all, interestingly enough, Witherspoon and Griffin were both selected in the third round of the same draft. Witherspoon was selected about 24 picks before Griffin. Seattle did draft Witherspoon's teammate, though, Tedrick Thompson, in the fourth round. So Griffin has had a more stable career. He leads them in solo tackles, tackles for loss, interceptions, and he's been in more games. So this signing leads more for Witherspoon competing for a spot rather than just being immediately handed one. No one thought Jamal Adams was going to come in and be competing for a spot. Likewise, it was pretty much assumed that even Quandre Diggs would be coming in and kind of given a spot. He was the most experienced, most accomplished. Witherspoon is coming in here with something to prove. But that's kind of the nature of free agency, right? Like, we know what his talent looks like. I have a couple games on 710sports.com. If you're really into, like, going to look for tape, I recommended looking up a couple games in particular early in 2019. There's a game against the Buccaneers as far as what I think Witherspoon is at his best. There's also a game against the Eagles in his rookie season and last year's game against the Dallas Cowboys. When you want to see, like, hey, what can Witherspoon look like when he's really firing on all cylinders and he's not injured, those are pretty good examples. He's got some sweet plays there. But yeah, there's a reason that Griffin got paid $44.5 million and Witherspoon is looking for kind of a fresh start.
Third down. Move that flew under the radar yesterday, Seattle re-signing Ethan Posick to a one-year deal. So, Jake, what do you make of that re-signing, and are the Seahawks done addressing the center position?
It was one of those decisions where I thought maybe there was a chance to bring in David Andrews. Boy, was I wrong. David Andrews then signs back with the Patriots on a four-year deal. Seahawks were going to be nowhere near that. So, as I said on Danny and Gallant the other day, this really comes to the coach's evaluation, in my opinion. If Shane Waldron, Andy Dickerson, Mike Solari, they look at the second half of the film last year where Ethan Posick struggled, and they look at it and say, look, we think that this guy can improve. Second year at center, athletic guy in our system, in this new system, that we feel like we could get the best out of him. I'm going to trust them in that decision. So, although I would have loved to have seen an upgrade with a more veteran player at that position, more background, I'm not overly excited, nor am I disappointed by this move. I think this is a fine move, and if you have the upgrade of Gabe Jackson, he's going to be as good of a player as I hope he is. I think you've got four players that are pretty good, and Ethan Posick has the chance to continue to keep progressing. So overall, I think that they'll be in an okay position, but really of the belief of the Seahawks in that building, as I've said before, and early on when they made this hire, they are really pinning their hopes on Shane Waldron's offensive philosophy, really changing the game for this team.
Fourth down. Jake, Danny O'Neill asked this question today. He said, will the moves that the Seahawks have made so far, do you think Russell Wilson should be satisfied and ready to move on? What is your answer?
I would say that no. I mean, at this point, what have the Seahawks really done? I mean, Gerald Everett is a really nice piece. I like him. But I also look at what the offensive line situation was, and you know, you had opportunity to improve two positions, and the only position that you addressed was, you know, left guard or right guard, whatever Gabe Jackson's going to be. So four of the five guys are returning, right? So that you just look at that from a year ago, doesn't mean it's going to be bad. I think that it could be very good, but it's not like there's been a bunch of big moves that have happened here to all of a sudden make a player think otherwise. So I think the other opportunity that they have is at the receiver three position. What are they going to do there, and how are they going to approach that? And I think that's another opportunity for them to continue to keep improving the team.
History is made in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, you're going to see something you've never seen or heard before. Curtis Rogers is going to break a world record. That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Way to go.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
From the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, never in the history of humankind have we seen such Herculean effort. Herculean effort that will transcend time.
What'd she just say?
Don't worry about it. Let me finish.
Herculean?
It will be spoken for generations to come. Or a 30-year-old takes on the challenge of a Capri Sun. There is no middle ground.
I'm 29, okay?
For less than a month. Here's what's going to happen.
Still 29, still 29.
For everyone playing at home with us, we found out during the timeline, which we do every day at 12:30, on Monday we found out that there was a British man that set a Guinness Book of World Records for chugging a Capri Sun. He did it in 16.6 seconds. Now, I've since looked up the rules. At first, I thought that you could just start with a straw in there. It has to be through the straw. I've since found out all the rules. Curtis was talking a big game. I kind of sprung this on you after the fact. So if you don't do it, I'll forgive you. But Jake is still going to have to eat a dozen everything bagels if you don't accomplish this, Curtis.
Boy, the stakes have never been higher. But also the added factor of the straw still having to be attached and me having to put it in the Capri Sun packet will probably be the toughest part of this.
No question about that.
So here's how it works.
Easily. It's completely changed the game.
Someone said that was the longest commercial break ever. Okay, I'm already seeing some questions from people that are doing this at home. Here's how it works. You have to have the Capri Sun. You are not touching the Capri Sun. Put the Capri Sun on the table in front of you. I'm going to start my timer. And when I say go, you and Curtis will reach for the Capri Sun. The straw has to still be attached. You have to undo the straw, punch the straw in, and you have to drink the Capri Sun through the straw.
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
Can we get
and
to
oh,
this?
Oh, one last bit. The straw has to go through the top where the straw hole is. I saw people texting about that. Okay. Ready. Set. Go.
Come on, Curtis. You got this.
1 second.
That's a clean.
3, 4, 5.
Oh, yes.
He's got 11 seconds to chug it. He's going.
Come
he's
on, Curtis.
Going. He's going. 9 seconds. Curtis has 6 seconds. 6 seconds.
Squeeze it.
Six. It's 13.
Oh, my
14,
gosh.
14. 15. 16. Oh, 18.2 seconds.
Oh. No.
No. No. Jake has to eat a dozen everything bagels. Oh, and your ninja training is
that straw there. Is not easy.
If anyone at home did it, by the way, you can submit video evidence to Guinness World Records, which is what this British man did, and they will count it. That's how he did it. He didn't have a tabulator come out. He sent video evidence of it. 18.2 seconds, the current record that Curtis has as far as people in the country. In
yeah,
the
United, I just set the United States record.
Curtis just set the new
Curtis set the Western United Hemisphere record.
Curtis
States
is breathing.
Record.
He's breathing heavy. His face is red.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That was a lot. That actually was a cleaner.
Do you think you're going to throw it up if you try it one more time?
Well, if I tried it like within the next minute, yeah.
What about the final minute of the segment?
No.
What about to end the show?
I don't know.
I don't know, Stacey. Stacey, can you just give him the weekend and we can try this again?
All right.
Because I know he can do this.
I want you to
I bet this
home.
Guy trained like.
He did. So in the article. His
yes,
name
he
is,
had to him.
His name is Declan, of course. He got beat by a 20-year-old named Declan.
Gross.
He said that he had to try it a couple times. So the Guinness Book of World Records set their random decider at 18 seconds because they kind of make up records for stuff where they're like, we think it should be 18 seconds. If you break this, we'll give you the record. So one of them was for chugging a Capri Sun. And it took him several tries to do it, primarily because you eat up 5 or 6 seconds taking the straw out. So he's like, once I maneuvered that and found the way to do that the quickest.
Because
if you had 2 seconds off from the straw, you would have broken the record.
Easily. Can we be honest what the problem was?
Yeah.
Curtis was too confident.
Wow.
And didn't train.
Jake!
For,
Jake!
Just like anything.
Are you kidding me right now?
Just like anything, you have to train for it. You have to train for this. And if Curtis trains for this, give him the weekend and he will obliterate this record.
My first attempt. I'm only a second and a half behind this guy.
Think about that.
Second and a half.
Think about
that. And it wasn't
that.
Because of my chugging.
No. Well, and I'll say for people that are like, squeeze it. No, you can
That's
hold the top
rule.
Of it. Yeah. You can't like force the liquid into your mouth. You have to suck it through the straw. So in 18 seconds, Curtis was able to take the straw off, rip the plastic on, stick the straw in through the top, and suck all the liquid through the straw without squeezing
wow,
the container.
That was exhilarating.
That's
and for
much
all of you who
you
are
think.
Just listening and didn't see on the live stream, we apologize that we are doing this to
it.
You right now. But this, I cannot tell you, I have not felt a greater thrill in quite some time.
I'm shaking. There's so much adrenaline going through my body. Well, Curtis, you didn't break the world record, but you did set a new U.S. record.
I did.
Of 18.2 seconds. If any of you can beat that following those rules, I don't believe you, and you'll have to come in studio to do it.
Or send us a video on Twitter.
There is no other truth until I see it for mine own eyes. Also, thank you to Mike Lefko, producer for Wyman and Bob, for stepping in
him.
Here. Shout out to Mike Lefko. You guys have your snack brackets, by the way, right? What was your number one seed?
No, we're only down to the Elite Eight because it took too long to get through it.
Was Capri Sun in your field?
No, it wasn't submitted, so it was just snack foods. We're going to do that later today, but I had to bring in oatmeal cream pies because Dave and Bob had never heard of them.
Oh. That's wild.
What is up with that show?
All right.
I
don't know.
You've got a tall task.
For the rest of the timeline, we have a cut to play. Do I need to? Okay. Curtis is heading back into the booth. So let me intro this. First of all, Curtis, congratulations on nearly setting the record. It took Declan a couple tries. We'll get you there. And then we're going to set a new record. We just need to beat 16.6. Okay. Dan Campbell, who is exactly the type of person we'd see if a strength coach became a head coach, said that newly acquired Detroit Lion Michael Brockers is, quote, one of the few that can wield the hammer of Thor. Cut number 4.
I'd say this about Brockers. He's probably one of the few in this league that could wield the hammer of Thor. So we're real excited about that.
I mean, this guy, you know who this guy is? This guy is every single strength coach that I have ever had in my college career. Like, and the name that immediately comes to mind is Scott Holsapple, who was my strength coach at the University of Kansas. He was with the University of Florida during the heyday of Urban Meyer. I think that these guys are just crazy. They're crazy. And that's what Dan Campbell is. He is a strength coach who happened to coach tight ends, who then now has become a head coach, and he's taking that mindset with him. So you got to love it, because we're going to continue to get these great sound bites every step of the way. And Stacey, right now, he's locked in for a six-year deal. So
Campbell?
We've got more of these coming down the road.
I can't wait to hear how many more kneecaps people are biting off. I'm also going to not raise the stakes, but a little bit. Here's what we're going to do. I've decided just now by myself, because I'm the oldest and I'm in charge. On Monday, I'm going to bring in the everything bagels. And Jake, you can have cream cheese with them if you want. But here's how it's going to work. You don't have to eat a dozen everything bagels if Curtis on Monday can break the record.
Oh, I'm going to be training this weekend, okay, Jake. I don't want you.
You
want
to do that?
I don't want to put
my
guy through
that. Yeah, I'll do that. And if you lose, if Curtis breaks it, you're going to have to eat a tub of rainbow sherbet.
Fine.
Okay?
Fine. Wow.
The whole thing.
After seeing what Curtis was able to string together,
I'm trying to decide if I want to give you the off-brand, which is very bad, or if I want to give you the actual good stuff, which is the good stuff? The Baskin-Robbins.
Okay.
Baskin-Robbins rainbow sherbet can't be beat. So I don't know if I should give you that.
All right.
I think I'm going to give you that because I know you'll change your mind after you have that.
I don't think I will.
You will.
Well, I'm going to bring in the bagels, and I'll bring in the sherbet just in case. And on Monday, this is going down. Curtis will have one more shot to set the world record, to make history. If he doesn't do it, Jake, those 12 everything bagels are going to take a big chunk out of your ninja training.
That's a lot of bagels.
Well, you're going to learn to like them.
Okay.
Right. God, a dozen bagels.
After seeing Kyle Fuller get cut on Thursday, were the Bears ever serious about their offer for Russell Wilson? Plus, one prominent NFL analyst is still convinced a trade is very much on the table. That's next.
Listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Rost. Curtis Rogers on the board. After seeing Kyle Fuller get cut, were the Bears ever serious about their offer for Russell Wilson? Now, that offer was reportedly, according to Dan Patrick, 3 first-round picks, including presumably number 20 this year, and then what most of us are assuming would be lower than 20 in the following 2 years. But 3 first-round picks, and then 2 starters, and those names were not included as part of this. So we don't know who it was, but most people thinking, okay, was it Khalil Mack? Was it Kyle Fuller? Basically, like, they only have a handful of really good players on their roster right now. So now, at least one of those guys on the move, and Hicks could be traded. So potentially 2 players that may have been part of that trade may not even be Bears. Certainly not one of them. So I think that most people, after seeing all this, think, A, the Bears might have been serious but never had enough to offer, and B, that must mean that the trade isn't going to happen and it's done. All right. Clear off your hands. Moving on. Done with all this Russell Wilson talk.
Yes. Let's go. We got Gabe Jackson. We got Gerald Everett. We're progressing. We're moving forward.
Jake, because one person, Adam Schefter, still says, yeah, don't rule this out yet.
And if the Seahawks are going to make a trade with Russell Wilson, they're going to do it knowing that they are locking into a quarterback that they want. You don't make that trade unless you have an obvious successor to Russell Wilson. That is something the Bears could not offer this past week with the 20th overall selection and the roster constituted the way it is. So as we get closer to the draft, if there's a team that could assure the Seahawks of getting a quarterback, don't be surprised if we see a Russell Wilson trade.
Well, so I guess it's not over.
Well, there's 2 things I take from this. Number 1, that list isn't changing. It's not expanding for Russell Wilson. So everything that we know about the path to a great quarterback or to one of these young quarterbacks in the league, it's just not happening. So right there, in and of itself, it's done. It's over. This is not happening. Now, on the other hand, it perks my ears up because Adam Schefter is not somebody that just goes – he doesn't need the clicks, guys. He's not a clickbaiter. He's an information broker. He is breaking information that he is being told, right? I mean, Adam. Everybody knows who Adam Schefter is, and this is and it's not his MO, okay? So Adam Schefter is the type of guy that when he goes out and he does interviews like with our station and different things like that, like he's honestly not one of my favorite guys to interview because he won't speculate on anything.
Yeah.
Like not even hypotheticals, nothing, because he doesn't want to make people upset. Like he is extremely careful with the wording of everything that he says. Okay. So with that in mind, it is very curious to me that he is continuing to hold strong onto this notion of the draft. The reason why I think it's worth noting is I've said this for a little bit that, hey, you know, like without a doubt, 100% you're in the clear once you get past the first round of the draft. Once you get past that, like there's not even like the slightest chance that it's happening anymore. Is there a slight chance that it could happen now? I guess, but I really don't see it happening. Like I really don't.
The no trade clause in Russell Wilson's contract changes everything. Him needing to approve a team you send him to changes everything, because either the teams that he would want to go to don't have what Seattle would want in return, like Chicago, have already locked in their franchise quarterback, like Dallas, or got rid of all their offensive linemen, like the Raiders, or just don't have money, like the Saints. I mean, maybe the Saints try to make a move next year, but next year is next year. We're talking about this offseason, and, right. And that's what Adam Schefter's talking about here. Not only that, I also wonder, I would buy, if Seattle had pick number 10, I would buy, like, they're waiting to see if they can get their guy, and if they can, they'd be more willing to trade Russ. Who's going to fall to them? Like, who would be their guy in this draft?
Or you're saying that you're going to take the picks that you have acquired and you're going to use them to get yourself back up into that conversation.
It would take a lot. It would take picks plus next year.
Right.
A fourth rounder and two and a seventh rounder and whatever else you have is not enough to get into the top 10.
Correct. I just don't see it happening. Like I really don't. So that's where I'm confused in all this. But again, I go back to the wording. The part that just is really surprising to me is that the wording is about the Seahawks. The wording isn't really about Russell Wilson at this stage. It's about, okay, the Seahawks, if they can find a replacement, they would do it. Like, would they consider as long as they go down that road? Yeah, obviously. You don't want to give up one of the game's best quarterbacks, one of the game's best players, if you don't have a succession plan in place already. Like, no duh. But there seems to be a different tone in that regard that it's like, no, they would be more willing than previously led to believe, because what everybody thinks out there in town is that the Seahawks wouldn't even think of trading Russell Wilson whatsoever. They would have to have their hands tied behind their back, mm-hmm. and Russell Wilson would be having to demand or force his way out of town. And Schefter's telling a different story here. That's what perks my ears. And that is different to me. Am I buying that? No, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that the team wants to deal Russell Wilson, and particularly Pete Carroll. I don't think Pete Carroll wants to do that whatsoever. So I think that you're in the situation where I don't disregard Adam Schefter and the information he gets, but that's the only thing that I take away from what he says. But the actuality of this trade coming to fruition, it's not happening.
Well, again, that's what's tricky for it, right? Like, again, the Bears are at pick 20. Say that Chicago had pick 5. A, this deal might have already been done. But B, yeah, you can still make that call on draft day. The Jets have a high pick. But Russell Wilson didn't okay a trade to the Jets that we know of. And the only reason I say didn't okay is because the Athletic article, which again, I thought was wonderful. The Athletic article that came out included Miami and the New York Jets as two teams. Russell Wilson's agent came out and essentially corrected that by saying, oh, well, actually, it's these two teams. So that, to me, is a refutal of we're not going to
the
Jets.
And that's another missing piece of this as well is, I mean, as you said, that is a reaction to the list that came out in The Athletic. And from what I've understood is that that revealing of that list with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets, that didn't come from Russ's camp. So they went out and in reaction went out and said, Russ doesn't want to be traded, but here's a list of destinations, right?
Yeah.
If that is the conversation that's being had. And I think that that's why I've described this as jabs back and forth instead of actually sitting down at the table and talking to one another and resolving the issues. So I hope that we can get past this point, because yesterday I think we were all feeling better as Seahawks fans. Like, hey, everything's not fixed. It's not, we don't have a complete team yet, and there's still a lot of moves that need to be made. But getting Gerald Everett and getting Gabe Jackson, that's a pretty good start. It's a pretty good start. Hey, we kicked off free agency. Now we're getting active. Hey, everything's moving forward, and I think we can see, you know, this team and Russell Wilson stay together in 2021 and potentially pass that. But I'm hoping that that is the case. If you're the Seahawks, you are not trading Russell Wilson unless he is open to going to the Jags, the Miami Dolphins, or the New York Jets. And guess what? He's not open to going to
either
one
of
them. Of course. You would have the opportunity to go and replace Russell Wilson. But guess what, Stacey? Is that a for sure thing? Is it a for sure thing that Trevor Lawrence pans out? Is it a for sure thing that Zach Wilson pans out, or Trey Lance, or any of these guys?
No, but that does make it far more tempting than throwing in someone like Nick Foles or even Derek Carr or whatever. Like, if you were like, hey, I'll give you Trevor Lawrence, I would empathize, understand a GM who would be tempted by that.
Because
if it does pan out, you've got a great QB on a rookie deal who's 22 years old.
If it does pan out. But if it doesn't, you're putting yourself at major risk. Like, that's just the truth of the matter. Like, you have one of the game's best quarterbacks who theoretically can still play for a very long time. And the way the quarterback market, the way that they've played, Russ has a great chance to continue to keep playing for 10 more years, 8 more years. Like, that's something that you would want to hold on to, that the rest of the league would want to hold on to. So it's an incredible gamble still at that point. Do you understand? Could it be more palatable? Yes, it could definitely be more palatable.
All right, coming up in just a couple minutes, do not go anywhere. I think one of my favorite guests that we've had on, Rob Staten of SeahawksDraftBlog.com and BBC, he joins us to talk to us about everything under the sun when it comes to the Seahawks and the NFL. We'll recap some of Seattle's newest free agent additions, the pieces that the Seahawks still need. He'll talk about some guys to be eyeing in the draft if you're a Seahawks fan. All good stuff. You guys are going to like this. That's next.